On Sunday afternoon, in fact, right at noon, the 22nd, you will see the Bragging Rights game, the annual game that takes place at Enterprise Center versus the Missouri Tigers and Illinois Fighting Illini, a game that has been going on for a very long time. And, you know, I haven't had the opportunity to go in a long time, but have always enjoyed it. It's always a fun rivalry. And joining us now on the Quiver River Electric guest line to talk about what will happen this weekend is Dennis Gates, Mizzou basketball head coach, with us on KMOX. We appreciate your time, Coach. How are you doing?
I'm great. Thanks for having me. Definitely excited to talk about our program and obviously share this moment with you guys.
Yeah, so, I mean, things so far, not bad, right? So how are you feeling about the season as you have just gotten started, really, what, just a few weeks ago?
Well, I'm definitely excited about the start to our season. We've had 8 different players lead our team in scoring in this season, and we only had 11 games. So we're currently on a 10-game winning streak, which is the longest in these last 11 seasons. And we just had a big-time win versus number one Kansas earlier this season, and we're definitely excited to protect the other side of our border.
Yeah, so let's talk about that game, because for a while, once that that border war game was resumed, it was mostly KU, you know, for the last several years until that big victory, what was it, I guess about a week or so ago? And that's a big one, and it always has been a big game for Mizzou when the two teams got to play.
Yeah, we have 3 kids on our roster, Tamar Bates, Mark Mitchell, and Aiden Shaw, who are from the Kansas City area. And those kids, you know how it is. They've had AAU pro teammates on the other team playing at Kansas, and they were just excited for that game, and it just speaks volumes to the growth of our program. This is my 3rd season here, my 3rd year in that actual game, and definitely this outcome was bittersweet for me just because the other two did not work out so well. So definitely excited to build on that, but definitely excited to keep our rivalry going against Kansas in the near future.
Well, usually it does take some time to build a program, and that's what you're working on now. Where do you feel that progress is now that you, as you said, in your 3rd year?
Well, I'm excited about the direction at which we're going. I think we've identified some young men from a recruiting standpoint. We've had the top 3 recruiting class. So once those kids continue to grow and get a little bit older, the most important thing during this time of year is development. And we're going to focus on player development, and we're going to continue to do the small things that allows us to come out on top. And I can't go on without thanking our fans for showing up the way that they have, not just for the Kansas game, but for every game that they are in the seats for.
Yeah, I know that getting the fans back and getting them excited about Mizzou basketball, there's been a lot of attention paid to the football team over the last few years.
Rightfully so.
Yeah, right. I mean, they've been a lot of fun to watch. They had the head coach who's been there for a few years now, and Eli Drinkwitz, but do you feel like where the program is now, the basketball program, that it's close to what you want it to be, if not already there?
It's moving in a direction. Hand in hand, I think we're riding the excitement of our football season and have been in the past since I've been here. And it's very important that we're able to do that. Coach Drink and his staff does a great job. And that's what our school year is kicked off with, a football season. And that invigorates the fan base, our students, and those alike. In addition, it helps us recruit. So we bring recruits to those games, those weekends. And it matters because ultimately we dive into our basketball season in November. And we just want to continue that momentum, not just from the SEC standpoint, but nationally, being able to build a program and build the excitement in our city of Columbia and on campus.
We are talking with Dennis Gates, Missouri basketball head coach, with us now on KMOX. So here it is, the other big rivalry game, which has been going on for, such a long time. And it is one of the more fun games that happens at the Enterprise Center here in St. Louis. So you got a few days away from that. You won't play until Sunday when it is, the Tigers and the Illini playing at noon. What is your, looking ahead to that game, as, you know, Brad Underwood's done a pretty good job of that program too. How do you prepare for them? How specifically do you prepare for the Fighting Illini?
Well, I'll say this. Bragg and Rice rival is one of the best of non-conference rivalries in college basketball. It's very unique in its own right because it's an annual neutral site game. And 50-50 fans, meaning half the arena is Mizzou fans, half the arena is Illini fans. And what is unique, Brad Underwood has been there for several years. He's done a tremendous job. You know, each year he's been able to build, but also retain right pieces and also recruit. When you look at the makeup of his team, they're very good at scoring the basketball. Their scoring margin is 19 to 20 points. They've shot from behind the arc a great percentage, making about 10 threes a game. They get to the free throw line, making about 73%. And they're a very good rebounding program, rebounding team. They have a positive assist to turnover ratio. And when you look at their losses, they've had an overtime loss against Northwestern. They've had a loss to Alabama and a loss to Tennessee by 2 points at home with a last second shot that was given up full court up the lane. So they do a great job, and my hat's off to them. I'm from Chicago, so I've known about the history of Illini basketball and obviously this rival as I'm now the head coach at the University of Missouri.
Going into a game like this, do you lean into the rivalry and the fanfare with the players, or do you, as the coach, try to bring them down a bit and still focus on basics?
No, you have to understand what it's about, because ultimately they're talking about it, meaning our opponents talking about it and educating their guys of what this means. It means a lot to our fan base. It means a lot to our former players and alumni. It's a non-conference opportunity again for SEC basketball to kind of continue on the streak that we've been on. Hopefully we get 12 to 13 bids because it's the strongest league, and our league has been 152-20 overall this season, including a 57-17 against Power 5 opponents. So we've been doing a great job in the SEC in our non-conference games, no matter if they're home, away, or neutral. But the complexity of this game, Amy, is unbelievable. It's a Bragg and Rice rivalry, and this rivalry is one of the top rivalries in all of college basketball.
Why is it that it just seems like no matter where the teams are, whether, you know, there are years where Mizzou's really good and the Illini aren't, and then it happens the opposite way too, that it always seems like that game's going to be tight anyway? It doesn't really matter. Is it just because of the nature of the building, that it's half and half fans? What exactly is it?
I think the historic part, the implications that it has for family, friends, loved ones during this Christmas holiday, it becomes dinner table talk over a holiday season. It's the last game for each program on that Christmas break. And then you get to either have a great Christmas or not. And ultimately, it goes down to rivalries. There are some split households where husband and wife share Mizzou grad as well as Illini grad. It is just entrenched where siblings either have the same bragging rights or not, because they've either graduated from Illinois or some graduated from Missouri. It's split households. And I think that is also a part that's very unique. But ultimately, it's two-storied basketball programs with unbelievable history that's strapping it up, being able to go out and try to win a game. And I know Brad Underwood is going to be excited about it. I'm excited about it. And both programs are going to be excited about it.
So it's a fairly early game on Sunday. I'm assuming you will have the team in town on Saturday night.
Yeah, during the day, Saturday, yep. You know, they open up the arena for each team to shoot around, you know, midday. So we'll be more than 24 hours in St. Louis. The other part of it is, you know, at the end of the day, we have to do a great job of, you know, being off and kind of staying a rhythm. And I think our guys do that with our strength program, our trainer, keeping these guys you know, at a schedule where they don't have academics, but they can concentrate a little bit more on basketball and their bodies.
So the other day, Travis Kelce was on his podcast, that New Heights podcast that he does with his brother, mm-hmm. and he shouted out MIZ. Did that do anything for the team? Do they know about it? And if they don't know about it, are you going to tell them?
Well, I would love to see that clip. You got that clip for me?
Yeah, I have it. I will send it to you so that you can have it please, and you can show it to them.
Please send it. Please send it. I think that's awesome. But it just speaks about us being the only Power 5 school in this state, and obviously, you know, what they do, you know, down in Kansas City with the football, NFL, and their success, many successes and championships that they've won. That's a Hall of Fame guy, Hall of Fame team, Hall of Fame program, Hall of Fame coach. And obviously, we share the sports scene in this state, and it's very, very, very exciting to know that when our normal fans pick up, whether it's a newspaper or even read social media, that is nearby some Hall of Fame professional players, but also that's how value we are as a basketball program in the state too.
Dennis Gates, Mizzou's head basketball coach, best of luck to you over the weekend. Enjoy your time in St. Louis, and thank you for visiting with us today.
Hey, thanks for inviting me to the Chris and Amy show on KMOX Radio, M-I-Z.
Love it, Coach.
M-I-Z-Z-O-U.
There you go.
There's
Travis Kelce. There you go.
Thank you.
Thank you, Coach Dennis Gates. We appreciate your time. Yeah, that's always a fun game. Awesome. I love that one. It's always like on the 22nd, 23rd, right before Christmas.
Do you want to hear something horrible?
Yes.
I've never gone. I've never been.
Oh.
I never had a chance to go.
So I used to go with a bunch of Illinois fans.
Yeah.
And I've never really been a fan of Illinois sports.
Well, because you're Illinois State.
I went to Illinois State.
So you can't like Illinois, right?
Well, that's the thing. A lot of people at ISU, because sports isn't the biggest deal there.
Yeah.
A lot of them are Illinois fans because they grew up in central Illinois and they probably grew up Illini fans or whatever. And it used to make me angry.
Mm-hmm.
I used to get upset because I would say, you don't go to Illinois.
Right.
You go here. You should be a fan of this team.
So,
but they didn't listen. So I would go with a bunch of Illinois fans from college to that game, and I would just, you know.
Yeah.
I didn't really root because I was in the Illini section.
You were neutral.
Yeah.
I used to run with this guy who was a huge Illinois fan, and this was in the early, mid-2000s. And so how many miles I ran hearing about Bill Self and Illinois. And I think they won 9 straight bragging rights games in the early 2000s against Mizzou. I feel like I know much more about Illinois than I should because that's like he would run and just go on and on. I'll build self this and blah, blah, and would talk about, I don't know, great moments in basketball history. And anyway, it was kind of funny.
There was another thing here with the Illini people.
Yeah.
And look, Illinois, those are my folks, right? I grew up over
there.
You're
a 618.
But when Bill Self left and went to Kansas, I am not so naive as to think that he shouldn't have taken that step up job because coaching at KU is a blue blood. It just
it is.
Simply is. It's
yeah.
It's Kentucky, it's Duke, it's Kansas,
They're
North Carolina. Those are the pinnacle of jobs. But so many Illini fans I knew were like, how dare he take that job? This school is just as good. I mean, the school's good, but the program is not where Kansas is. Just historically, it just isn't.
Yeah.
So that used to really irritate
me. He was pretty objective. He would acknowledge that. He's like, you got to go to KU. But he's just like, that's just what it is. He was also, randomly, this was, gosh, I guess this had to have been 2016. He was the first person, like when Donald Trump hadn't even announced his candidacy for president yet, literally, it was just being rumored about. He was the very first person to tell me this guy's going to win. I'm like, what are you talking about? Like, I just will always remember that because I wasn't even thinking about it then. I also wasn't in politics as much, right? I wasn't following it every day. And I was like, he hasn't even announced yet. You don't even know if he's going to run. He's like, I'm telling you, he's going to run and he's going to win. And I still think of those two things. Bill Self, and he was the first guy that was like, put Trump on your radar. And he's not a Trumpy guy. That's what I mean. He was just objectively saying. Yeah.
There is a press conference scheduled for 12:30 regarding the second arrest that was made in the killing of Colin Brown, the CBC student, the tragedy that happened on I-55. And again, a second arrest has been made. We are expecting that press conference to take place at 12:30. We are also expecting to bring it to you when it does occur. That's Amy Marks Kors. I'm Chris Ranji. This is KMOX.
Ranj, I don't know if this is good news or bad news for you. So just prepare yourself.
All right. Was Caleb Williams hurt or something?
A new YouGov survey is out.
Uh-oh.
The war on Christmas is over.
It's over?
Yes. I feel like that kind of takes away the potency.
Of liberals for Christmas?
Yes.
So do I have to just close down?
I don't know. Here's the thing. 86% of Americans plan to celebrate Christmas or another winter holiday. And the number of Americans who agree that there is a war on Christmas in the United States, that has fallen from almost 40% in December of 2022 to just 23%.
So that is interesting because I feel like nothing has changed since the whole war on Christmas.
Honestly,
hysteria began. Nothing has changed.
I know what's changed.
What?
I know what's changed. You announced Liberals
for Christmas, and now we brought it back?
Yeah.
Oh. So I can say Christmas again. Wow.
I think you saved Christmas.
I remember all the times that I would start to say Christmas or Merry Christmas, and I would be tackled, and they would put tape on my mouth and say, "You do not say Merry Christmas here, sir." Yeah, all those times that happened to me, I remember them. So that has stopped. People aren't doing that anymore?
No. Even Republicans, only 36% of Republicans think that there's a war on Christmas.
Wow.
It was almost 60% in 2022.
It's almost like there never was one.
Honestly, I think there was. And
no,
And I think Liberals for Christmas changed it.
No. Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. You're right. This was me. I did it.
So, but here's the thing.
You're
I was
welcome.
Actually excited for Liberals for Christmas because we were going to record a campaign commercial.
Yeah.
Maybe we should show people what could have been.
All right. We could do that. But it was a huge hit. Liberals for Christmas. You think
so big that it changed the poll numbers.
Right?
You know what? I honestly knew we had influence and reach. I mean, I knew, obviously.
Yeah. We did it, Amy.
Well,
you were not in Liberals for Christmas?
Because I'm a conservative.
Right. But
I was supportive
of
it.
You were supportive. You did endorse it.
I was in the team photo.
That's right. So I appreciate you.
Well, congratulations, Saving Christmas, Liberals for Christmas. We did it.
I saved it?
I would say probably. You could comfortably make that assertion.
All right. All you Christians out there, or people who are not Christians but just love the holiday, you're welcome.
Never start a phrase with all you Christians out there. Just be like, hey, everybody, there's no war on Christmas.
Okay. So, no war on Christmas. You are welcome.
But we're going to show you what could have been with Liberals for Christmas.
Yeah, I think we're going to do it anyway.
Yeah.
That's Amy Marks Kors. I'm Chris Ranji. You've got KMOX. That's right. TSO tonight, baby. TSO at
tonight?
Enterprise Center.
Wow.
You're going to go and you're going to say, TS, oh my God, that was good. Right? Matt Pajeski, our producer, is going to the show tonight. He's going to have a great time.
I won those tickets. Wait, no,
oh,
I didn't.
No, you did not win those tickets.
Oh, my gosh.
I paid for tickets.
Good for you. You could still buy tickets for tonight.
You paid to win the contest?
Yeah.
Whoa. We're going to get into so much trouble.
Yeah. No, he did not, folks. He did not play the contest or pay to win the contest.
It's actually literally illegal.
Obviously.
You cannot win those tickets.
Yeah,
if he
that's
works
why
here.
Steve Stenger went to jail, his pay to play scheme. It wasn't for tickets, but it was, you know, county government stuff.
Very similar. Hey, speaking of the county, we did talk about earlier what took place yesterday. There was a hearing, Amy.
There was. And I think in case you missed it, I do want to get to that that moment during the hearing when Melissa Price Smith, who is Governor Parsons' pick to replace Wesley Bell as St. Louis County prosecutor, noted her interaction with Sam Page and his proxies.
As part of this journey, I wanted to introduce myself to everyone who would listen. I wanted to tell anybody in the community, whether they be a politician or not, who I was and what my goals were for the office.
Raised red flags for you during that process, things you were told, things you were asked, things that you made you go, why are they asking me that?
I did interview with the committee, Sam Page's committee, and I did interview with Dr. Page. I also met several months ago with Dr. Page and a group from my office. He asked me to bring a group of veteran attorneys to meet with him, which I did. I was then instructed through a surrogate of Dr. Page that he did not want me to meet with anyone on the council or introduce myself to anyone on the council. As part of this journey, I wanted to introduce myself to everyone who would listen. I wanted to tell anybody in the community, whether they be a politician or not, who I was and what my goals were for the office. And I met with many of you on the council during that time. In my interview with the committee, one of the first questions I was asked was if I met with the council. I said yes, and I was asked to list specifically who I met with on the council. I was also asked to find dirt on a county council member. And when I refused, I received another call that I was to try harder.
That was the moment in the 2.5 hour or so meeting that really took the air out of the room that I found to be the most stunning. There was a long pause afterwards. I watched as much as I could of the 2.5 hours. I didn't get through the whole thing, but that was about an hour and 22 minutes into the meeting. And when she said, I was asked to get dirt on a county council member, then when I refused, they said to try harder. That is a massive red flag. I don't know the rules exactly of where something crosses over to being illegal or just super unethical or sketchy, but my goodness, this is a bizarre to ask, because it's not even like a campaign. They're not campaigning. He was asking someone within the administration to find dirt on a county council member.
I'd like to know what the other end of it is. Find dirt on a county council member. Why? Who was it and why? Well, what's the purpose? Is it because they were opposing you? They were making your life difficult as a county executive, and therefore you wanted to get back at them, or what? I need to know more details about what that was. I don't know if there's anything illegal there. It just sounds bad.
It sounds really bad. Who was it? We know that the council voted unanimously not to approve Sam Page's pick for county prosecutor, Court Van Ostrand. But yeah, who was this county council member? Why? Because it's a Democrat majority county council. Sam Page is a Democrat, but he's lost the county council. This is not a county council that's in love with Sam Page. And so it could have been anybody. And I know that Melissa Price Smith was asked subsequently, you know, do you think your refusal to get dirt on this county council member is why Sam Page didn't pick you or looked over you for county prosecutor? And she said, she just said, I believe Sam Page picked Court Van Ostrand because he thought he was a better pick. Like, you know, it was very diplomatic. Just, I think he picked Court Van Ostrand. But it does not look good for Sam Page. I do think he has a lot of questions to answer now. Like, you know, get in there and ask the county executive, did you ask her to get dirt on a county council member? She's saying you did. Who was it? Why?
And in terms of what this is all about, the selection of the new county prosecutor, which one of those two would be better for the job? She's clearly experienced. He seems to be pretty well put together, too. I don't know. My guess is either one of them could be really good at the job, but I don't know.
Yeah.
I think this is really more about who gets to pick. And if this situation comes up in the future, regardless of who the county executive is, it could be somebody completely different than Sam Page. Shouldn't they have the authority to be able to select who that person is based on what the charter tells them they can do? Now, that to me is the real fight. And that will be, I think, established by the court because it's just, it's an important thing to know. This situation may never come up again.
Yeah.
It may never happen that the prosecutor leaves because they're now a member of Congress, you know, or they go to do something else. But if it does happen, it should be pretty clearly defined who gets to make the pick.
Yes. We played the audio earlier today of Court Van Osteren talking about his background and how he had prosecuted some gun crimes, but his specialty was really white collar crime. And Chairwoman Shalonda Webb noted afterwards and said, "Well, I can assure you, Mr. Van Osteren, there won't be white collar crime in North County. You will be prosecuting violent crime." And he said, I understand. And while on the other side, we have Melissa Price Smith, who has a ton of experience in violent crimes, sexual assault, child sexual assault cases like predators, and has, as she said, grown up in the county prosecutor's office. Court Van Osteren, you know, on his side, said while he has a background in white collar crime and so forth, he pointed to St. Louis Circuit Attorney Gabe Gore and how his background wasn't necessarily prosecuting homicides all the time and that it's running the office as well. And Melissa Price Smith said her goal is to make St. Louis County safer and to prosecute violent criminals and to get through, you know, this backlog of cases. And so, yeah, like I said, it's not their fault that they were picked, the two attorneys.
Remember to drop us a voice message on the Odyssey app like Jim did.
Well, after listening about the county council in Sam Page, I would suggest that anybody who looks down their nose at the city of St. Louis and its politics should turn around and face Clayton. What's been going on in the county the last 10 years in terms of its politics at the top of the government is laughable, but mostly embarrassing. Maybe it will be that Chesterfield actually will take over the metropolitan area and become the new hub of Eastern Missouri. For sure, Chesterfield would require a pass from anybody who lives east of 170 and possibly east of 270. I guess they couldn't build a wall around the place because of the interstate highway, period.
That is Jim, who dropped us a voice message, and we appreciate your thought. And you can always leave us a voice message right from the Odyssey app.
I didn't buy this T-shirt when I saw it because I didn't live in Clayton at the time. I just thought it was funny. I lived in Dogtown, but I should have bought the T-shirt. It had the skyline of downtown Clayton, and it said, "Clayton, the Manhattan of the Midwest." I think it's pretty funny.
Hold
the Manhattan of Missouri.
We're like about two blocks.
That's the point.
Yeah.
They're kind of self-deprecating shirts. But they had this whole line of shirts. I don't even know. I don't think they exist anymore, but they had funny little sayings for Soulard and Dogtown and, like I said, Clayton at Chesterfield, St. Charles. St. Charles was something funny, too, about it being, like Canada for St. Louis County or something like that. It's just, it's pretty funny, but I love that. Clayton, the Manhattan of Missouri.
That's Amy Markscores. I'm Chris Ranji. You know what we have, Amy?
Oh, my gosh. I think I know.
What? Tell them.
WU tickets?
That's right. Cardinals winter warm-up is coming up in January, and we have tickets to give away to go to it. We have them today and tomorrow and the next day, right? So it's like dude, you want to go see winter warm-up? We got a pair of passes to give away to you right now. You need to be caller number 7. To the contest line at 314-955-1120, 955-1120. That's a 314 number. Call it. Maybe you'll get to go to winter warm-up for free.
Oh.
Good luck to you. Congratulations to our guy Bill from St. Louis, who's going to go to winter warm-up, the Cardinals winter warm-up, which starts on January 18th, so one month from today. 1 month from today, we're going to have the winter warm-up at Busch Stadium and Ballpark Village. It goes on for 3 days, the 18th, 19th, and 20th. And we will have pairs of tickets to give away for the rest of the week, so tomorrow and Friday as well.
That's
but you can still buy tickets by going to cardinals.com.
So, Ronj, I was telling people yesterday, it's almost time to panic because they only have 2 days left.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
to
yeah,
win
right.
winter yeah. warm-up tickets.
Totally.
And I told Michael Kelly, who was filling in for you, I said, listen, people need to panic because most of these people are going to lose.
Yes.
I mean, one person's going to be happy. Yep. Everybody else, millions of people are going to lose.
Most people are going to be miserable.
Unhappy. And I said, you should panic. Michael had a great idea. He said, why don't you buy tickets as a backup plan?
So you could maybe get both and then you can, what, gift?
Yeah.
Tickets
mm-hmm.
to somebody that mm-hmm. you care about in your family? That's a nice thing to do.
Yeah. I said, no, just panic. Because the odds are so slim.
Although Michael, here's the thing. Michael also has like, I don't know, he's like, what, got billions by now? So it's nothing to him to buy winter warm-up tickets.
Oh, well, even if you don't buy them before, maybe you don't win and you think, okay, I'm going to buy them. That's a great idea. I still think there should be a little bit of urgency and anxiety.
Also, the Odyssey Holiday Heroes Blood Drive is happening in conjunction with the American Red Cross here in St. Louis. And you want to go to redcrossblood.org. We have a sponsor code, and it is Odyssey, A-U-D-A-C-Y, at redcrossblood.org. And it started yesterday, but today it is ongoing until 4 o'clock. Tomorrow and Friday from 10 until 4 o'clock. There are multiple locations at YMCAs around the area that you can go and give blood. You definitely want to do that, and we are hoping that you will. RedCrossBlood.org or 800-RED-CROSS if you prefer to make a phone call.
You know how you read that letter from the United Healthcare yes. algorithm AI?
How it sounded like an eighth grader may have written
it. So what's funny is Jeff Jacoby, he's an opinion writer for the Boston Globe. He likes to say he's the only conservative at the Boston Globe. He's really good. He's great. He posted a picture of a letter his son Micah wrote when he was maybe 6 or 7 years old. I'm going to read it to you.
Okay.
I will have 70 kids. My wife and I will build a house out of timber. I will provide for my kids. I will live in Tokyo. I will work for the train station. I will have a horse, a cat, a dog, 2 cows, and a goldfish. One of my sons will have 3 pigs. I will love nature so much. My wife sells flowers.
70 kids, huh? But anyway, that is written exactly like this letter.
It is.
The letter.
This kid was 6 or 7.
Here's the artificial intelligence letter. This was a denial letter, yeah. And I'm going to give you part of it. I'm not going to read the whole thing again. But this was a denial that a person got, posted the letter mm-hmm. to Reddit so people could see it. But they went in with a pulmonary embolism. They were admitted for, it looks like, 1 day. And the letter, it reads exactly like the one you just wrote. You were admitted to the hospital on 11/29. The reason is blood clot to lung. We read the medical records given to us. We read the guidelines for a hospital stay. This stay does not meet the guidelines. You did not have to be admitted as an inpatient in the hospital for this care. And it goes on like that. It's and it repeats itself. It's clearly artificial intelligence.
Or a 6-year-old.
Or somebody who works for them and is really stupid and can't write. We had a message on Facebook, because you can watch us on Facebook if you want. You can watch us on YouTube and Twitter. And this message from Timothy says, if you were able to talk to a real person from most major health insurers, it's probably not going to make more sense than the AI letter you just read.
Yeah, it's probably true. The 6-year-old did better. At least a 6-year-old was interesting.
Very
He's
interesting.
He's
going
to live in Tokyo.
I want to know about these 70 kids. Where are they coming from?
Well, the wife.
Because they're not all coming out of her.
Well, she sells flowers too, so she is a busy woman. I like that they're going to build their house out of timber. And that,
wood. You want a? Who doesn't want a wooden house?
Yeah, and he'll work for the train station. I love this guy.
Well, this show's over.
It is.
For the day. We're going to come back tomorrow at 10 o'clock. You can be listening on the Odyssey app, and we wish you would. Download it for free. Anything you missed is on that app as well, or wherever you get your podcasts. We appreciate you. We love you very much. We'll be back tomorrow, 10 to 1 o'clock. Amy Marks Kors, Chris Ranji on KMOX. We're going to hang out for a bit with the Dave Glover Show next.